So we're here today to talk about what are Nintendo's options now for the Switch 2 pre-orders. A lot of stuff has happened. A lot of things are changing at a rapid pace. They have canceled pre-orders in many regions now. So we want to kind of go through the options that they have and find out maybe which one is the better of all the evils. Yeah.
It's true. Today was the day that the pre-orders were supposed to happen
right. In
the United States. Just yesterday, they put the brakes on the pre-orders in Canada.
Yes.
Which is a curious thing because the Switch 2 systems and everything that Nintendo sells in Canada gets sourced through the United States. So it's got to pass through here where we are and then go north of the border. So it does make you wonder, like, why did this have to wait until the 11th hour to get canceled? Weren't they aware of that plan as well? But it's left us all in a state of limbo. And yeah, what we're going to do here is put ourselves in Nintendo's shoes and try and think through the different scenarios that they have in front of them. I'm sure this is what they are literally doing right now to try and make a decision.
I'm taking a deep sip of coffee to get ready
for this. It's required for this conversation.
For this
yes.
Very, very complex conversation. So yeah, it is a really unfortunate sort of colliding of things. You know, that the day that Nintendo was doing their big reveal, big, you know, Nintendo Direct for Switch 2 was the day that all of these tariffs got announced. So obviously this is kind of a black cloud over what should be a really exciting launch. And now we're very impacted by like, how much can this possibly cost? And a lot of uncertain things. But you know, Nintendo isn't the only company that has been impacted by tariffs. Another company that is very much impacted in a similar way is Apple. So they make a lot of their components for iPhones, in countries like Vietnam and China, where there's very high tariffs, and they are, you know, kind of struggling with the same kinds of decisions that Nintendo is. So we wanted to look at, you know, what some of these other companies are doing. We're sure that Nintendo is gathering information on their side as well to see what other companies are doing and seeing if they can, you know, get some learnings to figure out their own situation.
Yeah, I think it's important to point out because so much of the conversation around these tariffs has been focused around the Switch 2. That's kind of become the focal point of this whole conversation because it's a new product where the launch has been obstructed by these things. But yes, there are so many other products that we, you know, kind of are in the same sphere that are impacted. So it is important to look at how are other companies handling this. And a lot of other companies are already taking steps or planned ahead to take steps because they saw this coming. So you mentioned Apple. There was a big story going around yesterday that they flew in 5 planes full of iPhones into the US before the tariffs hit to just be ready to make sure that they had a lot of stock for in any scenario of what happened. They also talked about how they have moved a lot of their production of iPhones to India to offset the high costs of the other places where these had been made. Sony, another company that looks like, you know, they're likely to be impacted. They talked about how in their earnings calls a month ago or 2 months ago, how they were stockpiling product here, again, getting ahead months in advance. And it is interesting that in the interviews that Doug Bowser was doing last week that hit earlier this week, he admitted, we've got some stock, we've got a lot of Switch 2s already in the country. And that was the rumor at the start of the year before the Switch 2 was even properly revealed. Like, oh, this thing is starting to make its way into the US. So it's kind of this two halves of the story. You know, on one half, Nintendo saying, whoa, we were caught unaware. We had no idea this was happening. What do we do now? On the other hand, they've already got so many systems here in the US and they've talked about how this is going to be one of the biggest launches for them ever. So it's like, which way is it?
Yeah, that part is really confusing because it's not like these tariffs were sort of totally out of the blue. Like we have been hearing about tariffs for, you know, since the beginning, even late
last year.
Obviously these other companies, these other huge, much bigger companies than Nintendo, like Apple and other, you know, tech companies that make products that are very similar to a Switch 2 that might have some impact from these tariffs. Like these companies were already planning ahead. So it's hard for, I think, for us to believe that Nintendo wasn't thinking ahead at least a little bit. So their statement about, you know, being, oh, you know, we need to evaluate the market situation. We didn't understand that in the first place when these tariffs happened the day of our Switch 2 event is a little bit of a head scratcher.
I truly hope you were doing this before last Wednesday.
Yeah.
And if you have all of these Switch 2s already in the United States and we're talking about a price rate being the price being raised, could I potentially be paying extra for a Switch 2 that's been in the United States for months?
Right.
And wasn't actually subject to anything? That's interesting.
Yeah. So a little confusing messaging wise.
Before we get into the different scenarios, I think we have to just ask ourselves, like, what is Nintendo's goal with this launch? Because I think that will inform the decision that they will make. And I think they have a fork in the road with two potential paths. One, we want to have a smooth transition from the original Nintendo Switch, where they've said we've got over 100 million active users, everybody's still playing and loving this thing, over to the Switch 2, to the new platform. Seems like a logical goal to just continue this good thing that you have going on. Or do you just want to extract as much value, which is corporate speak for money, from as many people as possible? And I think people are asking that question of, oh, is that Nintendo's goal now with pricing games at $80 and all of these other little nickel and dime moves that have made people so upset? So I think you really have to ask, what actually is the goal in terms of informing whatever decision they will make?
And have they lost sight of the original goal somehow along the way? Like it's, you know, Nintendo's been a little bit strange. They made some very interesting and weird decisions throughout the last week or so as they've been, you know, telling us about the system. And you know, some of those decisions were feeling a little bit un-Nintendo-like from the old Nintendo days. So it's like, did they lose sight of the goal somehow along the way? Or was there some sort of alternate decision making that happened? Because it does feel like maybe the goal started out as transitioning people between Switch and Switch 2, but now there's definitely this sort of air of like, well, this is just corporate greed. Are they just trying to ring us for all the money possible?
Or did they just assume that one would happen on its own, so now we can do both at the same time?
Yeah, and the evil laugh, mwahaha.
Yes.
The other thing is, you know, I looked again at Nintendo's, like, the way that they're talking about Switch 2. They did those interviews with Doug and Bill and Nate, and we had a video about how they really were trying to get out there with, you know, what is there in their minds, what is the most important thing about Switch 2. And they say very plainly in those interviews, like, this is a true successor to Switch 1, which leads me to believe that their original goal was to have this, like, smooth transition. Like, the way that they were talking about Switch 2 was really around the idea of, like, this is the Switch that you love, just better. And they seem to be going out there with that messaging, but kind of the actions that they were taking were kind of in conflict with that when they were trying to, you know, price these games at a very expensive amount. And then the confusion around these tariffs and, you know, all those things kind of conflict with the idea of having a smooth transition between the two generations.
So we have a number of scenarios. We'll go through each of them. And then at the end, we'll kind of come to our conclusion about what we think makes the most sense. The first scenario, I'm just titling scenario zero because I don't know how realistic it is. I think this is the best case scenario for them, where these things just go away. Like, oh, this was just an empty threat. And tomorrow they say, oh, yeah, we were just joking about those. And everybody, you know, has a good laugh of like, all right. And everything's, you know, back to how it was before. Seems unlikely the way these conversations had been going. But in that case, you can just resume all the activity as planned. But I do still think in this scenario, you need to have some sort of a plan should these come back. We've seen a lot of this talk like, oh, we're going to do this, and then it goes away and it comes back in a slightly different form. You can't just assume, all right, we're all good. We never need to think about this again. Let's focus on other things.
Yeah, exactly. And it sounds like, well, from what we've been seeing, the plan that they had, they didn't seem like they considered all the different scenarios. So even if the situation, really the best case situation, that they go away, it's like, are they going to just be caught flat-footed again if they the tariffs return later this year, you know, at an even more like inopportune time, like around the holiday season, for example, when Nintendo does a lot of their business, are they going to be like, oh, I didn't realize they were coming back. Now we're in another bad situation with our customer.
Apple would not be loading up 747s with iPhones if this seemed like a likely scenario.
Where do I sign up to be a Switch 2 mule?
I feel. The next scenario. So in this scenario, let's assume that next Monday, tariffs go into effect. You know, there's actual things happening. The prices of these things are going to go up. So in this scenario, let's assume that Nintendo says, well, we just have to raise the price of this thing. I don't think it is realistic or reasonable to say that they will just pass all of that along to the consumer, because if you look at those percentages, and people debate those percentages and like how real they are, but it's like we're talking about hundreds of dollars above the $450 price that we already have. So I think you would have to say, well, they're gonna meet the consumer halfway. So, you know, we're gonna eat a little bit of it, but you're gonna have to take a little bit of that as well. And I think in that scenario, they would have to message that yes, this change in pricing of let's say $450 to $500 or so, it's because of this external thing that is happening. We wish this wasn't happening. Should that situation change, we'd all go back to normal.
Yeah, this one is a tough one because I think if they were in any other scenario than they are in now, people would maybe be a little bit more open to this discussion. But because they have lost so much trust in their fan base already with the pricing discussions around the $80 games and not packing in a tech demo for free, and just all the negativity that is really centered around price, now asking people to pay more because of tariffs just feels really nefarious. And I think for the customer too, it's like, are you just, there's so much mistrust now. It's like, are you just using this as an excuse to wring even more money out of me? Or is this real? It's hard for that person now because there is no trust in the company at this moment to actually like get on board with this or even like trust Nintendo for saying that the price is increasing because of tariffs by this percentage. So I think this is a really unfortunate like colliding of many different situations for them. But because of where they are right now with customer trust, it's just a really tough ask.
Right. And even if no matter how clear you are that, hey, this is out of our control, this is because of this external thing, you're right. I think people are still going to be a little bit upset, even if it's not the full brunt of the tariff. But in this scenario, once you roll this out, hey, pre-orders are back. We have our plan. This is happening. You can get back on the path to launching this thing.
Right.
Next scenario, same kind of thing where, oh, Monday, the tariffs are going into place. This is Nintendo going down a very different path where they just say, you know what? We are just going to eat whatever the cost of this is. The price will stay at $450 and it will stay and we're going to continue to eat this cost as we seek out some sort of a solution that will give us some relief for this, whether that is, you know, like what Apple's doing of moving the production to a different country or whatever other solution they want to look into. And they would publicly announce this. And guess what? They're quite financially capable of doing this. Let me read off a couple facts about Nintendo. They have over $14 billion in cash in the bank. They have no debt, very unusual for companies. And they have at times over the last year been noted as the richest company in Japan. So yes, this would cost them some money. But when you look at the financial position of Nintendo versus some other companies, they can do it. They can eat it. It would not make a huge dent in them.
Yeah, they're really lucky because they have these kinds of options, whereas other companies may not have the option to.
That's a great point.
To do something like this.
An option a lot of other companies don't even have.
Exactly. So they can consider an option that is maybe something that's very unique to them. You know, they again, like I was saying before, they have lost so much trust already with the current negative, you know, sentiment around price and around what they're doing with the games and charging the high price for Mario Kart World. This would repair some goodwill with their current fan base. This will, if their goal was to have a smooth transition between Switch 1 and Switch 2, this would help with that because you're not now asking the customer to pay more. You're not giving them a confusing message of, oh, we announced this price of $450 and now we have to raise the price for you to get this thing. You can start immediately with your pre-order strategy as planned. You can start to like work towards your June 5th launch, which is coming up very soon. So it does feel like this one helps with the perception of that Nintendo, the negative perception that Nintendo has right now.
That's the big thing. You've had people screaming at you for a week, drop the price. But if you go from a scenario where people are thinking, oh my gosh, this thing's going to be, I don't know, $700, and it stays at $450, that perception does change, and you didn't actually drop the price at all. So it's kind of a two birds with one stone solution there, where, oh, we've actually indirectly been able to solve this issue that's been haunting us for the last week and could potentially loom over time as the Switch 2 continues to roll out. So I think it's one that they would need to look at seriously. It does, you know, people have been, you know, calling all of these examples of the old guard of Nintendo of like, oh, Mr. Iwata cut his salary. And, oh, there was the ambassador program. It feels akin to the thought process that old guard of Nintendo would have had, where it's like, what is the best thing for the consumer, you know, based on what we are capable of doing as a company and having a long-term vision? I don't know what the expectation is of like, are these tariffs going to be here forever? Or are we really just trying to work through a challenging moment here that might last something that's shorter to the sum of months?
Right, right. And this one for sure feels the most sort of consumer friendly in a time where they have been perceived to be very consumer unfriendly. This is the one that does feel like, yes, we are thinking about the loyal fan base, the 150 million install base of the Switch 2 players. We do want these people are important to us. We want to have a smooth launch for Switch 2, have a smooth transition for Switch 2. This does feel like more of that like long-term plan versus some of the other scenarios, which feel very short-term where it's like, you know, I just need to make money now. I don't care. Versus I might lose a little money up front, but long-term I will like recoup those costs or the situation could change. And this kind of, you know, this initial Nintendo absorbing the additional costs would go away. And long-term, this would be a better solution.
And also in this scenario where it's possible that the tariffs kind of go away, but come back in a different form and then go away and then come back, you're unbothered by this because it's like, the price is the price. We will deal with it on our side. You don't need to worry it as the consumer. We are focused on other things, which I think is a positive place to be if you're capable of doing it, which they're one of the few companies that is.
Right, right, exactly.
I do want to float, again, I don't know how likely this scenario is, but I do want to float the possibility of, are they capable in a short period of time of just selling the Switch 2 through their My Nintendo store and potentially making back some of the margins that they would be giving to retailers? Again, if they're like, oh, we need to find a way to get some relief from this and we only need to do this for like a month. Is there some way that they could do that and say, hey, for now, this is the only place where you're going to be able to get it. Later on, you'll be able to go to a Best Buy or a Target or a wherever. I wonder if that's a scenario that they're looking at, like, hey, how could we really ramp up our ability to just ship stuff out?
Yeah, this is the first launch where they've had a My Nintendo store. So, you know, when Switch 1 came out, that didn't exist. So they had to rely on more traditional retailers for that launch. And yeah, we were thinking about from a pre-order ease perspective, how that would change the situation. But now it does seem like having your own storefront, having your own ability to have a shipping channel, a distribution channel for your product is important because you do, again, you have flexibility, you have some options. Now the retailers might be a little bit miffed at you if you cut them out of that initial launch. But if you say like, this is a short-term solution and later on, you know, you would be able to sell this product when we kind of figure out what to do with the uncertainty around tariffs. But yeah, it does feel like, again, they're very lucky in the term that they have more options than most people, than most companies.
So I don't know how realistic this is, so I don't want to throw it out there as a proper option that we are presenting. But again, I'm sure somebody at Nintendo has asked the question of, hey, are we capable of doing this? Because maybe that's something that we could consider. Okay, next proper scenario. In this scenario, the tariffs are delayed or they kind of linger on and you really don't know what is going to happen. And this is something that could happen. We saw recently in the news that the head guy in Vietnam has asked that the tariffs be delayed for around 45 days. We have seen this will they, won't they thing happening with the TikTok ban. Remember that?
Yes.
And it was, they just, you know, the can was kicked. The proverbial can was kicked. It's like, well, we'll come back to this later. And this is maybe the scariest scenario for Nintendo because you don't know what's going to happen. And it's a game of chicken where, I don't know, 45 in 45 days, you're getting close to your to June
to launch.
And it's like, we've said that that's not moving. We just have to make a decision and hope that we are doing the right thing in the face of a lot of variability.
Yeah, this one feels really dangerous because you are now really putting your fate in someone else. You're not in control anymore of your own destiny. You're kind of doing that thing where you're waiting around playing this game of chicken, you're very dependent on an outside source, which is not great and really, you know, confusing for the customer as well. And I think the biggest consequence of this one is they may have to have a staggered launch. This is something that is, you know, not great to consider since we live in North America and would like to have this thing. But, you know, they have done this before. The 3DS did launch in Japan first.
And to be clear, when you say a staggered launch, you mean this thing will not release in the US and it will release everywhere else.
True. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And it's unfortunate if that's the case, but this has some precedent for historical precedent because the 3DS did release in Japan first. But on the other hand, the North America region is Nintendo's biggest market. So if they stagger this launch, based on, you know, the scenario of waiting around for these outside things to resolve themselves, it's going to be a huge hit for them because they're now losing out on marketing their and selling their newest console to their biggest market. So this is a tough one.
You can still have a great launch everywhere but North America,
right?
Which is a positive. But yeah, the North American market is so big, you are losing out on a lot, even though, you know, this was kind of the way that console launches happened up until about a decade ago. The thing would kind of come out when it's ready, like usually first in Japan and then come out. But it just feels like we're collectively so far past that point that this would be really disorienting for a lot of people of like, oh my gosh, I can't believe that we're missing out on this now.
Right.
You do still need to have a plan though. What is your plan if and when the tariff goes into effect? So you can't just pretend like, well, we're just going to wait it out. Like, no, you need to use the time to really have a concrete plan and hopefully make a decision that puts you on the path to actually releasing this thing. Because I don't think it can't just be indefinite. Like you do need to say, and it will launch here on X. So again, you're just kind of pushing everything out.
Right. And it's very difficult to do pre-orders in this scenario as well, because if you're just waiting around for like an outside force to determine the date of when this thing can come out, you either don't do pre-orders at all, or you have like a very short pre-order window between the time of the pre-order and the time of when it eventually comes out in the North America.
It could be like a week before.
Exactly.
Or again, the possibility of we're just not doing them because this thing is coming in so hot. We're just finding a window where we can do it. And oh my God, just get it out there.
Oh my gosh. That agents of chaos is what they'll become if that's the situation.
Our last scenario, again, under the guise that the future of the tariffs are unclear or they're going to be happening sometime in the, you know, month plus sort of future. Does Nintendo just delay the launch globally, everywhere, and say it's so important that we launch this in an impactful way everywhere, and this is such a big issue, and the North American market is so big, we're backing away from June 5th globally? Now, what this would do is that you are taking the frustration and confusion with a customer base in a single region, and you are making it a global issue where it's like, hey, Europe, wasn't it cool that you didn't have to worry about this tariff nonsense that the Yanks are doing with? Oh, guess what? Now it's your problem too.
Yeah, exactly. This one is like making something into a global issue. And also, you've rolled out your pre-orders. You've rolled out all that stuff in these other regions.
Yeah, that's already happened.
They have done it. A lot of people in, you know, these other regions, not North America, have like, they have the feeling if they wanted to get this thing and did, it's like, yeah, I'm all set. I don't have to worry anymore. And then you're going to basically like pull the rug from under them. And now they do have to contend with this, which is really, I think it's disorienting for them. And also feels very unfair. Like, I don't even live there. How is this my problem?
Why am I impacted by this?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
On the plus side, launching in June, there is a lot of buffer before the holiday. So they could say, well, we're moving from June to, let's say, September. And that still gives us a big burst in September. And then when we get into the holiday season, we can have a big burst there. So maybe you could argue, yes, people might not like this, but once we actually launch the thing, it's a great product. People will enjoy it. And we can still have that positive, big burst of activity at the tail end of 2025.
Yeah. Yeah. They're very lucky, again, that they kind of had the sense of timing, you know, of thinking ahead, and they may have been giving themselves a buffer for other reasons, but now the buffer will help them in this situation as well if they need a couple months before the big holiday push. So yeah, they could do that, and you know, it would be a bit of a some work on their end to get people to accept the new dates and sort of get them off of the June 5th timing. And you have to do that thing where you know, make sure the other regions, not America, are feeling okay about it. So there's some work in terms of communicating to your fans, like what your plan is and what you're doing. But in terms of like, can they still have a strong holiday if they delay this launch to September? Like, I think that's a possibility.
So ultimately, again, this is how a decision gets made at Nintendo. Like, they look at all of the different options. Mm-hmm. You can't really rule anything out, and you need to present the person who can make the decision with, hey, here are the four options that we came up with. I'm presenting the pros, the cons, all the details.
Right.
Now somebody needs to make a decision.
Right.
If you were the top dog at Nintendo, which of these options would you go with?
Well, let's do this. Let's do the decision that we think Nintendo will make. Let's do that. Like, which option do we feel most likely Nintendo will go with, and which option we actually want as the customer?
Well, yes.
Well, obviously, as the customer, this is an easy one. I would love scenario two,
yes,
to be their decision, where they absorb the tariffs, clean message to the fans, and the people buying this thing that they're doing this. Again, this is a situation where they've already lost so much trust. This will help to gain back that trust a little bit, I think, a little bit, not all of it, but just a little bit. We know they're financially capable of doing this. This does feel more like the sort of consumer-friendly Nintendo of the past.
Yes.
So this will, I think, will go a long way if they were to pick this option.
Maybe I am too optimistic, too naive. I think this is the option that they will choose.
Okay.
I think / hope that this process has been a clarifying experience for them,
mm-hmm,
where, again, we talked about the two goals. Maybe they took their eye too much off of the truly important goal,
yeah,
of transitioning and having this positive transition into we need to extract the value.
Right.
And again, when you think about this is a platform that they're going to want to support for, I don't know, 7-8 years, maybe a decade, you just need to get the systems into the houses. You need to get people to start playing games, to start getting into that ecosystem. Every single one of those other options is highly disruptive to that. And it leaves you in a position where you are reacting in the moment to who knows what else will happen over the next month's year, I don't know. Whereas the second option, where they just eat it, And again, they're very financially capable of doing it. It's like, we have chosen our path. We don't have to worry about this anymore. We are back in control.
Yeah, I think they're seriously considering scenario one, which is the, you know, meet the customer in the middle, pass some of the tariff price raise to us and eat some themselves. I think they're seriously considering that one.
Probably.
But I do think ultimately, and I'm also very hopeful, that they will go with scenario two, which is they will eat the cost. But they are looking at all these options. I'm pretty certain that they're doing this exercise of looking at everything and you know, crunching the numbers on their side as well. Even if they have a lot of money in the bank, they still have to do the exercise of making sure what does this mean from like a bottom line perspective and how much and what the margins are, all that stuff. I'm sure they're doing all of that right now and considering, you know, scenario one, but I am very hopeful that ultimately they will go with scenario two. I hope there's a lot of people at Nintendo right now that are making the case for scenario two based on the reactions that they have been seeing for the past week, and really thinking about their long-term goal for Switch 2, and really like getting themselves out of being distracted by, you know, the short-term solution and really think about like, yes, remember we were the ones that were saying that, you know, we've disrupted the length of the console life cycle with Switch 1. Look at the success of this hardware. We have an opportunity to have a smooth transition to bring this huge install base over to the next generation. We've already kind of messed up doing that. We've lost so much trust and we've made this a rocky road in already for so many people. This is the opportunity for us to like smooth this out for them and look at the situation long-term. You know, hopefully by year four, we have forgotten about this and we're, you know, enjoying a long generation with Switch 2. I think if they're thinking long-term, this is absolutely the right decision to make. So,
yeah, it's a moment where you're looking in the mirror and it's like, what are we about?
Yeah.
And I think that we're going to get a good window into what Nintendo as of today is about when they finally tell us whatever this is.
What's going on. Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, that was very interesting. I never thought that we would be making a video about tariffs, but here we are in the year 2025. Awesome. Let us know what you think. If you have been kind of reading about this or learning about this, if you have any other thoughts or feelings about how Nintendo should handle this.
Or is there a scenario that maybe we didn't think of
that they should
consider?
Exactly. Let us know in the comments. We will be back with more videos. So thank you for watching. We'll see you guys later. Bye.
Bye.